Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
He's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, there's another reason that John Elway may have brought Case Keenum into the fold. But beyond, we need a quarterback. And it's a belief that although many people here in Denver have given up on Paxton Lynch, that this organization, and in particular, John Elway, has not given up on Paxton Lynch. Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback in the NFL, backup quarterback for over a decade, had this to say about Keenum's role here with the Denver Broncos.
I think them signing Case Keenum is going, well, we're not ready to give up on Paxton Lynch because Case Keenum's a guy has always had to do the little things. I said he was never the physically gifted guy. He's always had to study really well, understand windows, timing, anticipation, leadership. He could have really, really positive impact on Paxton Lynch.
There you go. A guy that you bring in, and we've talked about this a bunch, the middle-ish of June quarterback. The guy that can be a mentor. The guy that can teach young guys how to play. The importance of veteran eyes. A guy who has fought for every penny, everything that he has gotten, every little piece of real estate as he's climbed into the starting quarterback role. And this is a guy who's a Christian guy who wants to be a mentor, who wants to pass that along, who wants to help out a younger quarterback. This signing is not only we need to fix our offense and we need a veteran quarterback, but it's also a sign, I think, based on what Dan said, and I tend to agree with him, and it's something that I hadn't really thought about. It's a sign that they have not given up on Paxton Lynch, that John Elway has a desire to continue to develop this guy, and he needs a strong mentor around him so that he can properly develop. And that's another reason the Broncos signed Case Keenum as that role, not only the starting quarterback, but the mentor quarterback, and also only started him or only signed him to a two-year deal. So it'll be interesting to see exactly kind of the impact he has on Paxton Lynch in the classroom, around the facility, all those different things, the preparation and all those things. It'll be interesting to see how that impact affects him, especially coming this season and this preseason when he gets his cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Okay, so do you believe that John Elway is trying too hard to try to somehow make it work here with Paxton? Is it a reek of desperation? Is it smart? I mean, if he's making moves like this, significant moves, based on the idea that you're still trying to get the most out of Paxton Lynch, at some point that it'll pay off, sound strategy in your mind?
Well, I think it's a sound strategy in this. Mike, you have Paxton Lynch for, what, another two seasons under contract. You're not paying him a whole lot. Everybody who analyzed the draft, every guy, said what about Paxton Lynch? Enlighten me.
Hey, it was about a three-year project.
About a three-year project. Now, the Broncos turned that around and said, oh, no, this, you know, we're going to microwave his development, and this is going to be great. And I think they've come to the realization that, yeah, everybody else was right. It is a process. And he has had multiple coordinators. And the other thing that Orzlovsky said is the thing that you wrote down, you instantly wrote it down, more quarterbacks are ruined than made.
In this league, yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with him. More quarterbacks are ruined. And so I think one of the things that you have to basically figure out is, what can this guy do? What is he good at? And how can we put him in the best position possible? And I think the great thing is, pump your brakes, take a step back, learn from a veteran who has had to earn everything. There's something beautiful about meritocracy. There's something beautiful about a guy who's a free agent that all of a sudden gets, through years and years of development and hard work and bumps and bruises, that gets the opportunity to lead a franchise. And there are guys who are horrible mentors, but there are guys who are great mentors in this league. Josh McCown was one. Remember John Kitna?
Mm-hmm.
John Kitna survived in this league forever as a backup role quarterback because he was so good with young starters. Case Keenum is in that. He's in that realm. He's a guy that will mentor, a guy that will give everything he's got to that organization.
But does it seem to you that it's a strategy of just kicking the can down the road at the most important position in sports, the quarterback position, that it's, hey, we'll only sign Case Keenum to a two-year deal on the hopes that what happened last year wasn't a fluke, and, hey, along the way, if it doesn't work out, he can also possibly mentor our former first-round draft pick who appears to be on the fast track to being a bust, but you never know. And who knows, maybe his presence here in a couple years, we might have something with Paxton Lynch because we still have him under control for another couple years. Doesn't that seem like a rather short-sighted plan for addressing the most important position in sports?
Well, I think my counter to that would be, does Paxton Lynch or did Paxton Lynch have first-round ability when it comes to just the physical gifts?
Of course
he did. It comes down to this: is Paxton Lynch going to accept the mentorship? Is he going to, you know, we've heard multiple reports about lack of work ethic or last guy in, first guy out, and all that. Is that going to change? Is the work ethic going to become something that, you know, is it going to become the lifestyle that you have to have? And will Case Keenum be able to help him in that? Because I would say this, if you drafted one of the guys at five this year that was available, is that not a 2 or 3 year project?
Sure. But what's the motivation, I guess, is my question here. Is it that we firmly believe that this is somebody that is going to take a little longer to develop, but we are confident he will, and he will live up to his billing as a first-round drafted quarterback? Or is it, we just don't want to acknowledge that we whiffed again on another so-called quarterback of the future? What's the motivation?
Essentially, is it pride?
Right.
Is it pride or
just sound football evaluation?
Right.
What do you think it is? You'll answer that coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
When last we left you, previously on Schlereth and Evans, we were talking about Case Keenum maybe serving as much a mentorship role for Paxton Lynch as much as it is the hopes that he can go out and actually be the guy.
Well, I found that aspect of Dan's interview compelling. Like, is he here not only as the starting quarterback because of what he did last year and because of his ability to, to guide the offense?
Dan Orlovsky, former NFL backup quarterback, we had him on last hour. Here's what he had, his take on maybe the multiple reasons, another reason Case Keenum's here.
John Elway came out after last season and said, I will do everything to fix this situation at the quarterback position. Everything. And I think them signing Case Keenum is going, well, we're not ready to give up on Paxton Lynch because Case Keenum's a guy that has always had to do the little things. I said he was never the physically gifted guy. He's always had to study really well, understand windows, timing, anticipation, leadership, all those things he's going to be able to give Paxton and help Paxton in his development. And I think that was part of the decision-making here. Yes, they like Case. He's going to be a good player for them. But I also think that they believe he could have really, really positive impact on Paxton Lynch.
Okay. So serving a mentorship role as much as trying to be the guy here in Denver. I remember back when we were going through the whole quarterback debate around the draft, and Peter King, the very reputable Peter King, he wrote more than once and said, look, Broncos and John Elway aren't prepared to give up on Paxton Lynch yet. So for those of you banging the drum for them to go out and draft some quarterback at five, they haven't given up on Paxton yet.
Right.
Okay. And it turns out that King, like on a lot of things, was pretty close to being right. So what is driving this? Is it the honest football evaluation assessment that the Broncos have finally arrived at that, hey, you're right, he is a 2 to 3 year project. This is year three. There is no reason to think he can't turn out to be the quarterback that we thought he could be when we drafted him in the first round. Is it that, strictly football evaluation? Or is it ego-driven? We don't want to admit we made another mistake.
Right. So I think letting this mull around in my mind a little bit, I think there's a couple of things that would point to the direction of it is not ego-driven. It's sound football strategy. And it's an admission of a mistake they have made. I've been banging the drum for 2 years. You got to have a veteran quarterback, a veteran set of eyes. Mike, you know what's better than two eyes when you're studying film? Four eyes. You know what's better than four eyes?
Six eyes.
Six eyes. It's parted.
You know what's better than six eyes?
Eight eyes.
Seven eyes. Whoa. Wait a minute.
You hired a Cyclops? Wait a minute.
Hey, it's a big eye, though.
Yes, it is. It takes a lot in. Field of vision is good. But here's the deal. I was banging this drum forever because you need, even if the veteran quarterback is not the greatest quarterback, you need that veteran set of eyes. And that's why I said, hey, listen, it's Josh McCown. All right, you got to keep Mark Sanchez. You've got, like, I've been saying this forever. You went in with Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. And then you got, you know, some guy off the street that never even saw the light of day. And then you go in, you know, again with Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. And it's just not, like, it's not what you're looking for. It was a mistake. And here's the thing. Even though they haven't come out and said, as an organization, these are the mistakes we've made, they've admitted their mistakes by the way they have gone about changing kind of their path. What did they do in the draft that was different, completely different this year than in years past?
Bunch of former captains.
Bunch of former team captains, good football players or great football players, you know, that happen to be athletes. Not just drafting athletes that we're going to develop. Not just, hey, we need more team speed. But really conscientiously going after the team captains. Also, they logged more miles this year than they've logged the last 2 years. Going out and visiting guys and watching guys play in bowl games. And, you know, I mean, they did their due diligence. It's an admission that what they were doing in the past wasn't good enough. And to me, this is an admission that we didn't properly groom our young player. The best thing that you can do to teach a young player how to play is put great veterans around him that will mentor him. It means far more than the coach. It means far more than a lot of the other things that you can do. And especially in a day and age where you no longer practice in pads, you have got to have guys that can teach young players how to play and speak their language,
all right,
that playing language.
Okay, and this is when I need to jump in and kind of call a little BS, okay? Because year one, I get it. He could have used that veteran quarterback mentor to really help show him the way. And when we were hearing these stories over and over and over again about last in, first out, that first year, I got you. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. But after you come back and you go through year two and you've heard the same exact things.
Sure.
And you know in that building, come on, you spent years in that building. You know what that building is like. You know the kind of overt, in-your-face type pressure and feedback that you get. You also have a pretty good idea, or you should have a pretty good idea, about what is being said about you behind your back. And if you can't figure that out on your own, after probably all the people who came to him and said, look, man, you gotta do this, you got to do that, put a friendly arm around him and say, hey, come on, man, you got to do it, or a kick in the butt that he probably received over the last couple of years. And the fact that it still hasn't clicked in yet, I don't know if you blame all that on just not having a veteran quarterback around. And the thought that a veteran quarterback now here is suddenly going to be the magic wand for all this,
May I ask you
this? I think you're asking a lot.
Let me ask you this. If Peyton Manning were still playing with Paxton Lynch, and Paxton Lynch was showing up the last guy in and the first guy out, you think Peyton Manning would have had an effect on him? You think Peyton Manning would have grabbed him, you know, by the scruff of the neck and said, hey, it's not how you become a quarterback? Do you think that would?
I don't know, but, you know, Peyton, for his entire career, especially all those years in Indy, it's not like any of the guys that they ever called on as a backup quarterback stepped in and shined.
Yeah.
And you know, how much of Peyton.
But I know they all learn how to work. You know, I know they all learned it. It's just like Tom Brady.
Ryan Mallett.
I asked
Ryan Mallett figured it all out, and you know, whatever shortcomings Ryan Mallett may have in the NFL, it's not that he doesn't work hard.
It may just be his talent. Well, Ryan Mallett's a bit of an idiot, but right. Yeah. Well, I think the bottom line is at least you see what it takes. What did Jimmy Garoppolo tell me? What I asked him, what did Peyton Manning teach you? Was it, and he said that this is not a job. Quarterback is not a job. It's a lifestyle, and you have to be committed to the lifestyle. And if you're not, you're not going to have success. Ryan Mallett was not committed to the lifestyle. Is Paxton Lynch capable of being committed to the lifestyle? I don't know. But I think they're going to give him an opportunity, and I don't think it's based on ego. I think it's based on he's exceptionally talented, and if he could figure this out, and the odds of him figuring it out would be far greater if he had a mentor, a guy that really cared about him and a guy that would really help him, as opposed to, hey, you're a rookie, you don't know anything, you came from Memphis, and then year two, hey, we're trying to give you a job. Without, you know, without, you're in a battle with the guy that's, you know, a guy that's a year ahead of you, but redshirted 1 year for the job. I mean, there's no mentoring going on there.
For all of you who hate the Patriots and are reveling in all this talk about a rift between the Patriots and Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, you're going to love this. You're going to love the rumor of the hardball that Brady played with the Patriots. It's all coming up in Four Down Territory next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
Hurry,
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Brady with a play fake to Bolden. He looks to throw. He lobs it to Glock. He's open to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Wrapped him up. Number two, jump ball city. 6'7". He hasn't played the whole preseason. Wind up the big guy and turn him loose.
Patriots radio right there. The Patriots strongly denying a report that came out over the weekend that Tom Brady threatened to retire if Rob Gronkowski was traded. There was plenty of talk about the possibility of Gronk being dealt around the draft. And this latest bombshell is that Brady threatened to retire if his big target was traded.
Really?
Put any stock into that, even though the Patriots are denying it?
Well, listen, what else have the Patriots denied? Like, they're in full backpedal mode. I mean, hey, there's nothing to see here about the Alex Guerrero stuff. There's nothing to see here about this. There's nothing to see here about that. It's just lies and da-da-da-da-da. But where there's smoke, there's fire. There's more and more things that continue to come out, and there's more tension. I mean, just when the offense isn't, you know, I mean, everybody takes a lap. Brady, Bill Belichick's cussing out Brady at the mini camp, and that he and the whole offense, including Josh McDaniels, have to take a lap. I mean, I believe there is huge tension.
Will it matter as much once the season gets going?
Probably not. I mean, ultimately, you look at them as a football team, but you look at the division they play in.
Yeah.
Are the Bills going to challenge them with, you know, the quarterback situation they have, McCarron and the rookie Josh Allen? Are the Jets going to challenge them with whatever they've got? don't even what they still have Josh McCown, don't they? And then of course they've got Sam Darnold. In Miami, are they going to challenge him? I mean, heck, Jarvis Landry, who was traded to Cleveland in the offseason, bashed on the Miami Dolphins and bashed on Tannehill and already said, oh, our quarterback's here in Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield are already better than Tannehill. I mean, I just don't see that. I just don't see them competing.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Four-man rush. Watson throws down the middle. It's intercepted. It's Earl Thomas. Coming back near side. He's going to go midfield 40, 35. He's going to go 20, 10, 5. No flags. Touchdown. Seahawks. Earl Thomas.
Seahawks radio. Earl Thomas is skipping the Seahawks mandatory minicamp. Quote, until my contract situation is resolved. He posted on Twitter, said he wants to remain a Seahawk, but he also wants to, quote, have certainty in regards to the upcoming years of my life. I also believe that based on my production over the last 8 years, that I've earned the right to have this taken care of as soon as possible. He's going into the last year of a four-year, $40 million deal.
Yeah. So I would say that, one, I think Earl Thomas is one of the best players in the league. I think he's phenomenal. I also know that he's been injured, and he's had some injury issues. And I think, what is it, 8 years now? I think there's a lot of people in the Seattle area that are looking, or the Seattle management, that look at him and go, okay, how much more are we going to get out of this guy? He's, you know, had some injury issues. He's a great player. Our secondary is Cam Chancellor. Looks like he's gone. Like he's not going to come back and play again. Rich Sherman's gone. Like, is it time to start thinking about moving on from Earl Thomas? This is not, I mean, I don't know that they're going to get a deal done, Mike. Like, would you at this point?
If I'm Seattle?
Yeah.
No, I'm not beholden to giving this guy a contract extension. He's under contract. And that's the beauty of the NFL. From the NFL standpoint, when we're done with you, we're done with you.
Yeah.
But when you're saying, well, hey, give me a new deal, like, no. You got to honor your contract. You got to play out your contract.
Right.
And you got 1 year left on that contract. By the way, he could be fined a grand total of $84,000 if he misses the 3 days of minicamp, which is mandatory. Next in four down territory.
Hey, I guess I beg him to reconsider because of the longevity of all the people that want to respect him and that he should respect as well. Forget about the, I'm mad at the voters, I'm mad at the system, I'm mad at, that it's just the damage that could be done by not going, I think would overwhelm him over a period of time.
Hall of Famer Steve Young urging Terrell Owens to reconsider his stance of skipping the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Do you believe T.O. will listen to what Steve Young has to say?
No. I believe T.O. is going to do what T.O. is going to do. And, you know, I'm not, like, I don't know what the story is. I don't know, you know, what the backstory is. I don't know if he's continuing to be angry with the voting process or if he's just trying to upstage the Hall of Fame, which, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. I've read reports where it's going to be super expensive and he just doesn't have the money to do it. And the teams aren't really stepping up to the plate to help him out with that. So I don't know. I don't know what is the motivating factor behind, if there's multiple motivating factors or, you know, if it's just T.O. trying to get the most attention.
I think it's that. I really do. I think this is a guy who feels he was wronged by how long it took for him to get into the Hall of Fame. I think he feels bruised by the things that were said about him as people were trying to explain why it was taking so long for him to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think this is his way of exacting a little bit of revenge because people like you and I are talking about it. And it's a legitimate topic around the NFL at a time where, you know, things are starting to slow down a little bit in the NFL offseason. Right. So I think he's milking it, and I'd be stunned if he doesn't end up still there making his speech and probably giving the NFL a little bit more.
Right.
And his critics a little bit more grief along the way. No, I think it's clearly calculated. Next in four down territory.
fourth down.
Shotgun snap, drops back five, winds up, hit the ball, joint free. It rolls, it's loose, it's down, it's fumbled. It's being picked up on the play by Ward, who got the ball at the 10, ran to the 5 and fell there. Denver's got the ball.
Westwood One, drug charges against T.J. Ward have been dropped as he was arrested in October 2017 for marijuana possession. So he has had those charges dropped, but he's a free agent. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
So as much heat as the Broncos came under for letting T.J. Ward go, haven't they been vindicated that, yeah, for everything that T.J. Ward brings as a leader, an emotional firebrand for your team, the evidence seems to be that he just doesn't have anything left as a player.
Yeah, he was injured here. His last year, he had, you know, injuries. He was injured in training camp when they let him go. He went to Tampa. It took him a couple weeks to get himself back into kind of quote-unquote shape. And then he had injury issues throughout the year. So from that standpoint, yes, absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. It looks like they've been vindicated. But we both know that it messed with the psyche of the guys in the on the defensive side of the ball, and they missed the leadership role. And, you know, and so you could say, yeah, from a player standpoint, from an injury standpoint, yes, they've been vindicated. But if you flip it around and say, well, what did John Elway say this offseason? We got to change the culture. We got to fix the culture. Well, one of your big culture setters, you let go. So, you know, there's the juxtaposition of what went down.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL, brings you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Bronco and Rocky insider, will join us. He's a longtime baseball man who probably doesn't feel like pushing the panic button in June, but after this past weekend, is he ready to? Find out next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
All right, let's say good morning to our Denver 7 Bronco and Rocky insider, the one and only Troy Rank. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing fantastic. Looking forward to a mandatory mini camp coming up tomorrow. Give me one or two of what you think will be the top storylines last time this team gathers before training camp.
Well, we got to pay attention to the offense on where this depth chart starts to settle. Are you going to see a little bit of movement with the running backs? My guess is it's going to take training camp, but where does that stand with Freeman, Booker, Lindsey's in that, you know, in that mix a little bit as well. D'Angelo Henderson, how is that going to start shaking out? Are we going to see where it looks like Jake Budd is going to be the tight end when they leave? It's interesting. So what I'm getting is that when they try to set a depth chart when they leave this portion of the camp, but you'll find out what that means like a week into training camp, because we've the last couple of years, 2 to 3 starters have been replaced a week into camp. But I'm curious on the offensive side, both on the offensive line and running back situations, where that's going to settle in.
What do you see coming from the right side of the offensive line, and is Valdir going to be ready to go when camp rolls around health-wise? And just kind of break that down for me.
Yeah, I talked to Jared Valdir. You know, he's excited to be a Bronco, anxious kind of for a fresh start. He is a mammoth of a man. I mean, he reminds me of kind of like a pro wrestler in his size. Like, he's so enormous, 6'7", 6'8", 310-ish. I mean, but he's put together. He told me they're just taking it. He had a foot issue that ended his season last year in Arizona. They're just taking it slowly. No reason to risk it. In his mind, it's just no reason to push it to where it would prevent him from being ready for training camp. So he should be ready for camp. You know, Ron Leary, for now, no surgery on his knee. He's dealt with some knee inflammation in camp. So depending on how that shakes out, you hope there's no setbacks with him, because for me, he was their best lineman last year. And where he settles in, then how does that then shake out at right guard? Because I would assume they'll move Leary over to left guard to pair with Bowles, who I believe is going to have a much better year. Paradis has had his best offseason by far. So then you just get back to kind of right guard with McGovern and Garcia, maybe the one place that's a bit of a question mark. But on paper, and I know we've said this before, they should be better. But I got to see it from Valdir. He was a solid left tackle in this league, Mark. He had issues at right tackle last year, and he even admitted that to me, but he felt like he was starting to make the transition toward the end of the season, so we'll see if he can carry that momentum into training camp.
Visitor Troy Rank. Troy, I want to bounce this off you. We talked to Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback. Very, very good takes on what's going on around the NFL, especially with quarterbacks. Here's what he had to say is maybe the other reason why the Broncos brought in Case Keenum. Here it is.
I think them signing Case Keenum is going, well, we're not ready to give up on Paxton Lynch because Case Keenum's a guy that has always had to do the little things. I said he was never the physically gifted guy. He's always had to study really well, understand windows, timing, anticipation, leadership. He could have really, really positive impact on Paxton Lynch.
Do you believe that that was part of the idea of bringing in Case Keenum, that he could also serve as a mentor to get whatever's possible to get out of Paxton?
I do not. I think that's mutually exclusive. They got Case Keenum because they had to be better at quarterback position. They didn't pay him $25 million guaranteed to be a mentor for Paxton Lynch. I mean, that's got to come from Paxton. Paxton's talented, and he's shown progress, but he's been all-pro in OTA before. I mean, you got to see it when it matters, you know, and when they go versus ones in training camp, when they go versus one, he'll be a two going against maybe some ones in some preseason games perhaps. So it's got to translate to the field for Paxton more consistently. Case Keenum is a positive influence. I'm not disagreeing with Dan and there, but, you know, was Trevor a negative one? No. With Brock Osweiler, those guys put the note, you know, they did things in terms of the quarterback room the way you wanted it done. There was no jealousy and animosity. There weren't guys sabotaging each other. Guys were getting at me. You know, Mark Sanchez was around Paxton early. He's had similar guys, is what I'm getting at. Case is the clear starter, so that perhaps would make it easier to follow his lead. But I just, in the NFL, it's got to be internal. There has to be self-motivation and a desire to be good that's almost unhealthy. I mean, honestly, at that position, to be a great quarterback in the NFL, it almost has to be an obsession. And I don't say that lightly. I just, in my 15-plus years of covering the NFL, I haven't covered one quarterback that was successful that wasn't obsessed with that job.
Take us through what Shane Ray kind of hit the prognosis for him. I know he's having surgery, I believe, on Thursday in Houston. But what are you hearing from Shane Ray? And he swears he's going to be ready for the start of the season. What do you think?
Well, it's a cleanup procedure. It's not going back to the initial injury, so that's good news. I mean, he had three procedures last year, you know, between the original repair. You know, he tore the cartilage, then he had screws put in the plate, and then the pin stayed in, and then they had to come out. So it was complicated, really complicated. And as part of that, they need to kind of clean it up because something's still bothering him, creating pain. And, you know, I hope for him he'll be ready for the season. The issue is going to be, Mark, I have no doubt they can get it corrected in the procedure, but then will he lose his strength? How will the wrist be functional as an outside pass rusher when he comes back? He gets healthy. That hasn't been the issue. He got healthy this offseason. But then when he goes to do the one thing he needs to do, which is shed blockers and be a pass rusher, the wrist started barking again. So that's the key. I do believe he could be ready by the season. But what does that mean? Ready and 70%? Ready and 90%? And that's the part that I'm hopeful for him. That ready means this is a thing in the past and he can be, you know, have that sudden burst in his step, which he's always had, and have strength in that wrist to shed blockers. Because last year he was trying to play with one arm, one hand, and you can't do that in the NFL and be a good pass rusher.
You ready to push the panic button on the Rockies?
I mean, it's not panic, but it's real concern because they can't win at home. I mean, they averaged, in the course of the Rockies' history, they averaged 44 wins per season. They're on pace right now to win 30 home games. I mean, essentially it's bizarro world. They flipped it. They are playing at home. Now everyone gets to see what I covered on the road for 15 years, 14 years, where they can't get on track. They've lost seven straight, I believe, and allowed seven or more runs in every one of those games. The bullpen's a mess. We've talked about this in the past, that they're going to have to reorganize their internal inventory with Hoffman and Senzatella, give them a more prominent role to try to stabilize that, get Ottavino back, and try to find sanity. But yeah, now it's real concern because you gave all of the, you went from what, tied for first to fourth in the matter of a weekend, and you can't keep the ball in the yard. Anytime other teams come in here, they're better offensively than you at your home park. You have no intimidation factor of Coors Field. So yes, it is real time. It's not panic, but you can see panic from here because if you can't win at home, you can't make the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Hey, Troy, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a great morning.
All right, there he is, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Bronco and Rocky Insider, brought to us by Tranny Law. If you or someone you know been charged with a DUI, call for a free consultation at 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. Yeah, the Rockies are just becoming, you know, some of the most hospitable guests, hosts that you can ask for if you're coming into Coors Field. It was last Friday, two Fridays ago, that they were getting ready to host the Dodgers. And we said, hey, you know, and that was when they were just at that point, what, 4-2 on the homestand. So things were looking pretty good. And we said, hey, look, the Dodgers have been scuffling. We know at some point they'll probably turn it around, but don't let it be this weekend. You know, don't be the catalyst to get them going. And the Rockies let them come in and sweep them. Friday, you said perfectly, you said, hey, Paul Goldschmidt, arguably one of the top five players in baseball, has really been scuffling this year. Don't let him use this series to come in here and get right. And by the end of Friday night, I'm texting you going, looks like you got that whole Goldschmidt thing right. He ended up having a weekend. Talk about a weekend. 8 of 13, 7 of his 8 hits were for extra bases. 4 home runs, 2 doubles, 1 triple. He drove in 9 and scored 8.
Mm.
3 games.
Well, he had said coming in here before he got here, I don't know, a week or so ago, that he just was having trouble catching up to a fastball over 95. Like, people are blowing him away. And he had started kind of coming together in the last couple of weeks. Like, he had started squaring the baseball up a little bit more and started to feel better at the dish. And my thought was, don't give him anything. Just pitch him off speed. Don't give him anything to hit. You know, I mean, don't just make sure you're nibbling on the corners. And if you walk the dude occasionally, walk the dude. But don't let him get going. Because if that guy is going, then you've got no shot. And, you know, sure enough, 8 of 13. What'd you say? 9 extra base hits or 8 extra base hits? 4 home runs.
7 of the 8 were extra base.
7 of the 8. Yeah, I guess you couldn't be 9 if you were 8 of 13.
Right.
You couldn't have 9 extra base hits.
No.
Because that was more hits than you got.
Yeah, numbers don't quite match up there.
I was going to say extra bases, though. Like, how many total bases did he get? 4 home runs would be, that'd be 16
mm-hmm.
total bases.
Two doubles. That's 20.
17, 18, 19, 20.
Triple.
And a triple, 20, 1, 2, 3.
And a single.
24 total bases. That's a lot of bases.
That's a lot of bases.
Oh, jeez. In a 3-game series?
Jeez.
What is that average? 24 divided by 3.
That would be 8.
8 bases a game. Yow.
Yeah, he went all Little League this weekend.
He did. Dude, that's the kind of thing that you would, you know, you nickname your kid the franchise after he goes 8 of 13 in a Little League baseball tournament. That is. That was Little League baseball for Goldschmidt. Yeah, Lee.
I was at the terrific.
He ought to send everybody an attaché case or something, you know? Isn't that what they used to do back in the day? Like Lynn Swann, they'd win a playoff game and he'd send everybody an attaché case. I don't know what the equivalent of that is now.
How do you say it?
Attaché.
Yeah, that's right. That's better that way. You kind of rush through it, didn't
no.
give it the gravitas.
It's okay,
attaché.
Attaché.
There you go. Case. You got to get the French.
Well, like, what would you do? What would you?
Right. You know what I mean?
What would you send now? Like nowadays, what would you send? Like, you wouldn't send that. You would send.
I don't know. What did Jeter put together?
Well, that's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole...
That's true. That yeah. doesn't fit with...
Right. You send them...
That's a different gift package.
Hey, thanks for getting me back on track.
True.
And then you would send them something nice,
mm-hmm.
like the whole pitching staff. What would be the appropriate gift to send the Rockies pitching staff if you were Paul
Yeah, I
Goldschmidt?
Think you're talking like a big old fruit basket or something, you know, just like wrapped up, that cellophane type thing, you know, just...
Right.
Just a lot of, you know, big one, you know, and just say, hey...
Hey.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for getting me back on track.
Enjoy this fruit in the bullpen. Right?
Right.
Guys just over there munching on a papaya.
Yeah, exactly.
All sloppy, sticking yeah. on your fingers. then you're called to, like, you're up. You're like, oh, give me a towel. I got papaya juice dripping all over the place. Come out with stained uniform.
You're out there on the mound. Scott Oberg continues to step off the mound. I wonder what's going on. He's trying to pick kiwi seeds out of his teeth or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Big yellow stain on your boiler because you got too much pineapple juice that's dripped all over your stomach. Brian Shaw out there. Like, that's a big yellow stain on the middle of your uniform there, Brian. It's pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice. Can't get anybody else, so I thought I'd figure I'd enjoy some fruit.
KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. From the American Financing